Welcome to this edition of Buy, Hold, Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets. In this weekly show, you'll catch two fund managers who'll share their views on a selection of listed companies both here and overseas. Hit the subscribe button on your podcast player to be notified of new episodes each week. And don't forget that all the views expressed are general in nature and you should seek your own advice before making any decisions of your own. That's all from me. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the latest edition of Buy, Hold, Sell.
Hello and welcome to Livewire's Buy, Hold, Sell. My name is Chris Conway and this week we are doing a deep dive into the commodity sector. This special is all about small resources and future-facing materials at that. To take you through the top emerging opportunities and the overcrowded darlings, we're joined by Lowell Resources' John Forward and Acorn Capital's Rick Squire. Gents, welcome.
Great to be here.
John, I'll come to you first. Let's talk lithium. It's been hot and cold, shall we say. Prices were hammered or have been hammered since hitting that peak in late 2022. When prices are at these lows, we tend to see M&A activity. What are you seeing there? And do you think lithium prices can recover from here?
We're definitely seeing a lack of interest in the equities, the junior lithium equities. Yep. But to counterbalance that, there is still really strong interest that I'm hearing and seeing from industry players and the big industry players. So, you know, SQM came out the other day and said they're going to continue to aggressively invest in the Australian lithium bowl. There's still really good demand from other industry players as well. So it's still a very small market. And that's the cause of the volatility in my book. So we've had a lot of volatility on the downside. And I think that due to restocking in China, or destocking in China, I should say, that supply chain pipeline has been emptied. And there could be a significant bounce back in demand and in prices as early as this year.
Rare earths prices have been equally volatile. Could we be in for a rebound in 2024?
Yeah, I think there certainly could be. We've seen the rare earth price really collapse in the last 2 years. It got down, it was probably $150 a kilogram for neodymium, praseodymium, NDPR, yep. And that dropped to just under $50 early this year. So a really big collapse. But we've seen a small rebound just in the last few weeks, but probably more impressive and a bigger impact is we've seen our governments, the Australian government, the US government, offering large amounts of money to help projects getting up, despite the rare earth price being down on the floor. So two great examples of that is the funding of up to about $840 million for Arafura, mm-hmm. to get their Nolans project up and going. And the really impressive one was Meteoric Resources. There's an offer from the US government of up to $250 million US dollars for a project that's actually in Brazil. So, really significant signs of the urgency and the strategic importance of this. And I think that will really help drive the recovery of the commodity.
John, let's turn to copper now. That's one that has been doing quite well. Many would argue that there's not a lot of great exposure on the ASX after BHP took out OZL. Is that something that you would agree with?
Yeah, indeed. I think there's quite a divergence between the offerings in copper on the ASX and what you can get in North America on an exchange like the TSX. And there's certainly a lot more opportunity on the TSX, in my view, for investing in junior and senior copper producers.
Rick, anything to add there on the copper plays?
Yeah, I really agree with John. We talk about that a lot, that difference between the TSX and ASX. And as a nerdy geologist, we actually recognise it being a geological bias. It's a bit like, there are big iron ore deposits in northern WA, but there are none here in Melbourne or in Victoria. And there's a geological reason for that. But there's a geological reasons why you get so many big copper projects in North America. And that's why the TSX is a really good playing space. There are some good ones, really interesting deposits in Queensland and stuff that have the potential to grow a bit bigger, but the space, the opportunity set is certainly larger in North America.
Rick, I'll stay with you. Let's talk risks and challenges of investing in future-facing commodities.
The biggest risk is the technical risk around those projects. So if you take yourself back are 2 years into the midst of the lithium boom, that you know, companies are running out talking about these DLE or direct lithium extraction projects, and some of those companies, you know, grew enormously, like Lake Resources, you know, made it into the top 200 on a DLE development project, and then it's, you know, there's been a huge collapse in particularly those more technically challenging projects. And you know, John mentioned that, you know, the prices come back in lithium, and there's a couple of projects that have sprung back and perform well, like Winsome, Patriot, Wildcat, but they've got conventional, simple projects, right. And they're the ones that have actually survived the cycle quite well. Whereas those with the technically challenging projects, you know, the timelines to get them into production are much longer. And for investors, it's not just the size and the grade that's important; it's the ability to get it into production. And just to be aware of that, not just for lithium, but for all those future-facing metals, particularly the ones that, you know, we're not that familiar with.
We've asked both the gents to think about some metals and some stocks that they both like and don't like. John, I'll come to you first. We're talking a future-facing metal that you think has big upside over the next 12 months. What have you got for us?
Almost everyone probably would say copper. So I'm certainly in that camp as well. But something that's perhaps a bit more straw hats in winter is nickel. You know, one of the better known and more respected nickel analysts out of Macquarie Bank, Jim Lennon, is saying there could be a bounce back in nickel in the second half of the year. We've seen a lot of production shut down, so that's probably my left field call.
Rick, what about you? What's a metal that you think has lots of upside over the next 12 months?
Yeah, I'd really like copper, like John. I think that's a great one, but also rare earths. I think, you know, just having gone, you know, so low that we're actually starting to see, you know, signs of curtailment of production out of China. There was a good report that came out from Macquarie only yesterday saying that, you know, there were signs that there was a tightening of the supply, and that one is, you know, right off the radar. But, you know, given the government push strategically into that space, that I think a small uplift in the price will see a really powerful driver in equity prices.
Rick, I'll stay with you. Let's talk about a stock that is overvalued, one that the market has maybe got a little bit ahead of itself and that you would be selling.
Oh, well, I'd be selling Azura, which is probably the obvious one that, you know, it's really overvalued for where it is, but there's a takeover bid, so it's, you know, just a simple thing. So if you've got any Azure left, I'd just get rid of it now.
Fair enough. John, what about you? What's an overpriced stock that you would be selling in this space?
One that has made a fantastic discovery, but has had a really, really good run and perhaps has got a bit past the stage of where it's at, particularly for a very niche commodity like niobium, is WA1.
All right, John, let's talk about the stocks that you do like now. Can you name two future-facing metal stocks that you maybe have been buying recently?
Yeah, well, look, on the copper theme, we participated in a placement for a company called Alma Metals, which is a small company, $10 million market cap, with the rights to earn a majority interest in a project just outside Gladstone in Queensland, where the infrastructure is second to none. Right. It's a very low-grade project. It's got copper and moly, but a lot of tons, so some really good leverage, in my view, to upside on the copper price. The other one is in the nickel space. Following my theme of, you know, straw hats in winter, we've also been buying a TSX, Toronto Stock Exchange company, called Talon Metals, which has got a nickel copper project in Minnesota in the US. So that has already attracted government funding from the US, from the Department of Defense, in more than $100 million worth. Yeah. And it's a really nice high-grade project with some really excellent-looking exploration upside.
Great, some exciting sounding picks there. Rick, we'll finish with you. Two names that you're liking at the moment.
Really like Winsome Resources. It, you know, they've got a really interesting project. It's not the highest grade of the lithium projects out there, and at the moment it's not the biggest, but there's, you know, a runway for them to grow that resource from around 50 million tonnes to, you know, perhaps as large as 100 million tonnes. But I think their recent announcement of the option to buy the Renard diamond mine in Canada, which is just down the road, has really changed the whole dynamic of that project. That, you know, with the building a road about 80 kilometres, they could, you know, quickly be into production at a really modest capex, and therefore, you know, leapfrog a lot of their competitors, and that's given them a really good opportunity. A second company that that we like is Firefly, Firefly Metals. They've got a really interesting project in Newfoundland in eastern Canada. It's got, you know, excellent management team. They bought a mine out of administration. It's on care and maintenance, but they're really focusing on growing that resource, thinking about the size of that resource, and then building a mine that will actually be the right size for the actual asset. And I think, you know, it's the team that developed Bellevue initially, right, and that was a great success. So, yep. So it's something that we're really excited about.
If you enjoyed that Battery Metals episode of Buy, Hold, Sell as much as I did, make sure to give it a like and don't forget to follow our YouTube channel because we're adding lots of great content every single week.
Thanks for listening to Buy, Hold, Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets, Australia's number one source of expert investment analysis and insights. Register for free online at livewiremarkets.com and you'll discover more exclusive investing articles, videos, and podcasts.